Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
All right. We're so glad you're here this morning. Please stand with us. We're going to get this room warmed up. I know it's getting plenty warm outside, but we're going to get a little more heat in this room as well. If you please stand with us. Vincent, count us off. 3, 4. All right, sing it out.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Faithfulness,
faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me.
Here we go.
Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. To yours, oh Lord.
Righteousness.
Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need.
It's what we need.
Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me.
Here we go, sing it out.
Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it. To yours, oh
Sing it out.
Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it. To yours, oh Lord. To yours, oh Lord.
One more time.
To yours, oh Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you.
Good morning, Asbury guests and friends. It's great to see you this morning. I'm so happy that you have come here to worship. We obviously still have some folks on vacation, but I understand school is going to begin soon, so they'll be back, much to the children's chagrin, probably. Oh, maybe they'll be looking forward to having it soon. We've got some things that we need to look at in terms of our announcements. The first one is the van. The van is getting a little closer to being purchased, but we still need your help. And you may notice as you arrived or as you're leaving today, the boards that we have some envelopes. And the envelopes are numbered, and the number on it is what you would write your check for, enclose your money for, and put it into the offering today, or mail it into the church, or bring it by the church, or whatever. Of course, you're not just constrained to that number. If you want to add a little bit to it, that's great, too. But we are close to, I think, 34,000. It's in your bulletin. And the goal is 65, so we've got a ways to go. So be in prayer about what you can do for that, because, as you know, the van is in great ministry in this church and helps us reach out to so many people in community service. Another thing we want to lift up to you is save the date. Hog on the Hill is coming for its second annual debut, and it's October 23rd from 4 to 7. I think we're going to have a lot of barbecue. We're going to have a lot of good desserts. We're going to have a silent auction. We're going to have a band. So it's going to be a great, great event. This is a wonderful time to begin to think about who you could invite to experience the hospitality that is so unique to Asbury. So I hope that you'll be sure and save the date, put that on your calendar, and make sure that you invite a friend. And then the next thing we want to remind you of is that we are going to continue the Change for Change this year. It's just a time to bring your leftover coins to the church. We accept dollar bills as well. And there's going to be receptacles throughout. And this actually, if you think about this, the change that you have left over from your meal or whatever, if you'll put that aside, all of us collectively did that last year and brought in over $1,200. So, and I loved seeing that this was something the children could especially enjoy doing, and our teenagers. They obviously don't have a flowing income, so this was one thing that they could participate in and feel really good about helping in our shared ministry. So those are some things that I want you to be aware of that are either we're engaged in right now or they're coming right around the corner very soon. Please sign the register and let us know that you're here. And now let's turn around and greet one another in the peace of Christ.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, and tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary.
A sanctuary,
pure and holy.
Pure and holy,
tried and true.
Tried and true.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living
sanctuary.
Sanctuary
for you.
For you.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary.
A sanctuary,
pure and holy.
Pure and holy,
tried and true.
Tried and true.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living
sanctuary.
Sanctuary
for you.
For you.
For you,
for you,
for you,
for you,
for you.
Amen. Love that song.
There is power, power here in this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Oh, hear the sound from heaven. Oh, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul.
Are you sons and your daughters,
all your sons and your daughters, dreaming the dreams of their father, seeing the signs and the wonders, the kingdom of God.
Sing it out.
Whoa, hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. Well, I cannot contain it, this fire inside. I cannot contain it, so let it shine. I cannot contain it, this light of mine. It's burning in my soul. Hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul.
There is power, power here in this hour.
Sing with us.
We're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Please have a seat. Children, why don't you come forward? Morning, Laura.
Good morning. It makes me kind of want to do a dance when you do that. Good morning. Before we get started, we need to do something very special. Today is several people's birthday, but I know for sure that there is somebody who has a birthday today. So we kids need to sing happy birthday to Mr. Mike. Do you think you can do that? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Mike. Happy birthday to you. Good job. And of course, Lacey. Lacey was like, I already sung that today. So, all right, I have a couple of things this morning that I was thinking about this week, but I have my first heart. Who wants to read what's in my heart? Maddie, you don't want to? Aubrey? Open it.
Love God.
Love God. How do we love God? Go to church. How else? Lacey? Pray. Sing to him. Good job. What else? Molly? Maybe we, yes, Amory, do what? Praise him. Tyler? Tell him we love him. Very good. Well, I have a second heart that goes with it. Oh, Katie.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. And the second part is we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. Very good. How do we love our neighbor? What are some ways? Lacey, Make them cookies. We talked about that at 9:45 too. How else, Hope? Treat them like you want to be treated. Treat them so that you would be nice. That's right. One more. Pray for them. Very good. So I want you to think about that. We are 1 month, unless you go to Easton, going back to school. And so we want to be treated. We want to love God, but mostly we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. And y'all thought of some great ways in order to do that. So think about that this week, okay? Who would like to say our prayer? Lacey, you want to say a prayer?
Dear Father, help us to love you with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Good job. All right.
As we go into our prayer time together, I invite you to remember those that are listed in our bulletin and add Patty Wilkerson as well, please. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving God, here we are again. We're in worship today of you. We're so grateful to be able to gather in this space that is near to us, dear to us, to be with our family of faith and to pray to you and among you. God, we almost hate to look at the news every day out of concern of who might have been hurt, whose life might have been seen as worthless to others and just taken. God, we know that this evil is not going to triumph. We know that your will of good and of love is going to overcome. So, Lord, as your people today trying to be faithful, may we remember that this world is only going to change for the better as it begins with our own individual actions and words and gestures of love and kindness in this world. So God, we come forward and we confess to you that yes, we don't always say or do the things that promote love. Help us this day and every day thereafter in our lives and beyond to do what we can to be more loving. We confess our sins before you, and we give you all the praise and thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for your holy grace. We ask for protection. We ask for wisdom in our leaders. We ask, oh God, that you help this world be what you created it to be. A beautiful, productive, and wonderful place to live. So again, God, we offer ourselves today to you as people who will take those affirmative steps towards that. And now again, be with those who are hurting, those who are facing surgeries and illness, those who are recuperating from surgeries and illness. Those who are in the quandary of where their life course is going to take them next. Give them peace. Give them assurance that as long as each of us turns to you, leans on you, and is open to your guidance, we're going to be all right. So we offer this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's such a wonderful time of worship when we offer God our gifts. And there's so many ways that we can give. And, of course, I shared so many of those ways during the announcements. But don't forget that there are ways that we can help those who are going through poverty every day right on the streets of Little Rock. So if you ever can bring those canned goods or bottled water or anything like that that might be of help to those who just need a little bit of assistance right now, I invite you to do so. Let us pray. Most gracious God, it is with joy that we have prepared these gifts to give to you today. It is with expectation that we know you will take these gifts and use them for your glory and to assist your people. So now, Father, we thank you for anointing with your Holy Spirit these gifts that they may be used for your glory this day and forevermore. Amen.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need. Oh God, how I need you.
Amen. Glory to God.
This morning we're going to be looking at the New Testament and finding the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. May the people of God drink in this sustenance as we find it in the Word of God, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 9. So put away all malice and all guile and insincerity and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. For you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And he who believes in me will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall, for they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage is deep in the waters of faith. In fact, if I were to take this scripture passage and give it a title, I would call it The Five Building Blocks for Kingdom Builders, which is all of us. And as we know that with anything that you build or do in that way, there are those five things that are obvious ones. You need a purpose, a plan. And you're going to need the right tools. And you're going to need the best quality of materials. And you're going to need some wisdom as to how to execute this plan and build this thing. And you're going to need some energy and some spirit. Right away, the Apostle Peter clarifies the purpose. Grow up. Now, when somebody says that to us, we might be a little offended. But they're implying we're immature, that we've done something that wasn't very adult-like. But here Peter is saying, grow up in your salvation. And he tells us to do that. How? Get holy. Get holy. Rid yourselves of mean intentions. Get rid of envy and malice and slander and deceit. Get rid of it.
That you talking about your kin that way.
Well, as somebody always said, if you can't say anything nice about anybody, come sit by me.
Yikes. We grin. It's not so good. But we know, as we think about what we've said this past week, and I'm not going to ask a show of hands because I'd have to raise mine, how many of us have said something that was perhaps not necessary to say, not perhaps very helpful to say? But then after all, we have opinions, and we like to share them. And why do we like to share them? Because that makes us feel like our thoughts are important. We are validated in our thoughts that they are important. And if someone agrees with us, well, who doesn't like to feel like we're right? There's not anyone that doesn't love to be right. And Peter says to us, right or not, it's not holy. An unholy behavior doesn't qualify for an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So I would suggest the first building block of purpose, defined by growing up and salvation in Christ, is to work on being holy. Holy. Somewhere along the way, The interpretation of holy has gotten a little confused. Many of us think of holy as practicing better, being better than others. Some of us interpret holy as you got to be perfect. And I don't believe that that's exactly what God wants us to be in the business of being holy. I believe holiness is all about living in a manner that honors God, thanks Jesus, and witnesses to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy moments. We've all been givers or receivers of holy moments. I can think of the time a couple of decades back, actually, but it's just such a vivid memory of mine. It was on a late fall evening, and I got a phone call from the local gas station manager who said that there was a family stranded there, and could I come down and be of some help? And so I just happened to make a pot of winter soup, and I put as much of it together as I could, crackers and cheese, some drinks and dessert, and I took it down there to them. And they could, you could just see how grateful they were. You could see that it was a holy moment for them. But my friends, it was really a holy moment for me. December 14th, 2014, I remember that night well. I got hit pretty hard in a big SUV, and I was in that small car I had at the time. T-boned, airbags deployed. You've heard the story. I was frightened, I was scared, and I was definitely hurt. The ambulance came, the police came, and I believe that it was a holy moment because there was Barbara and Don Mills who were there. There was Richard Duncan who was there. It was a holy moment for me because I was in need of mercy and of angels. But I believe that first responders give and receive holy moments all the time. The firemen, the policemen, the ambulance. Think about what on any given day they are tasked to do. And don't you know, they're always in prayer, as we should be for them. There was a story I saw this week. It was about a child who had been watching the news reports and wanted to do something for the police. My friends, just stop and think. What we are seeing on the TV, what we are seeing on the internet in terms of what's happening in our country and in the world. And now, throw all that in the mind of a child. If you've got children or grandchildren, I implore you to please sit down and talk to them. Pray with them. Assure them. It's scary for us. Imagine what they're feeling. And this little girl was trying to process what she had been seeing. And so she baked some cookies with her mom. And she put those freshly baked cookies in a little brown paper bag. And she asked her mom to drive her to the police station. Little 7-year-old girl. And the little girl opened the door with courage, but that compassion was even greater than the courage. And she went up to the first policeman she saw sitting at the desk, and she said, "I know you've been having a tough time lately, and you do a tough job. Thank you." And she gave him the cookies. The purpose of growing up in the salvation calls for us to live in the world, but set apart from the world. We are set apart. We are a royal priesthood. We are called to be a holy nation, Peter says. This altar here, have you ever taken just a good look at it? It's beautifully made. I believe Jay Greenfield made it. We have a beautiful one in the sanctuary as well. It's out of solid marble. But to the unbeliever, this is a piece of furniture. The unbeliever, it's a table. But to those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to those of us who experience Christ throughout our lifetime, this piece of furniture, this altar, witnesses the milestones of faith in our lives. Babies are baptized at this altar. Young people have figured out that they can't go through one single day living perfectly, as can no one, and they recognize they are sinners, and that Jesus Christ died for us to be clean and whole again and back in relationship with God. And when they have that figured out, as when we have that figured out, we come before this altar and we profess that with thanksgiving. We are confirmed and profess our faith. And then one day, should our course of life bring us to someone we want to spend the rest of our lives with, we come to this altar and we give with the other person in a covenant of love, grounded in our mutual faith of Jesus Christ at this altar. And should that union bring forth children, then the perpetuation of faith continues and they are baptized. Maybe even if you're in church, this Church of Asbury, long enough, you'll see a grandchild baptized at the altar here at Asbury. When the course of faith is over and we've lived our lives the best we can, our bodies lie in state at this altar, at the altar of God. As surely God witnesses with joy and love that we are in the church, that we are before his altar, and surely in the air will be the echo of the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The altar has graced the milestones of our lives, and it is sacred. It is holy. Another understanding of the word holy, or origin of the name, the word is hallow, whole, wholesome, healthy. So when Peter is calling us to be that holy nation, to grow up in salvation, he's telling us to clean up our lives a bit. I know I need to do that, and I'm sure everyone in here has one or two things they'd like to clean up just a tad. Second building block are the tools found in Jesus Christ. Jesus and our belief in him shows us how to grow in our faith and our salvation. Grow up in salvation, he says. How do you do that? By being living sacrifices. When we think about sacrifices, we usually think about our tithes and offerings that we bring. But that's just a portion of how we're called to be living sacrifices, or living sacrificially. Living sacrificially is when, after the end of the day and you're tired, you still give that time to that elderly person down the street that needs a little bit of assistance. At the end of the day, when you're tired, living sacrificially is giving that time, that empathetic ear to that child or to that older adult or to that friend who's looking for work. That's living sacrificial. That's going the extra. Living sacrificially is when you'd like to be doing something else with your weekend, but you realize that you really need to do at least this much for missions. Because if it doesn't get done on the weekend, it just doesn't get done. Living sacrificially is living holy and growing up in our salvation. Like Christ, we may be rejected. Others may say our beliefs aren't good enough. Our worship's not strong enough. Our prayers aren't sincere enough. They say we Methodists are watered down Episcopalians. Oh, those Methodists, they'll believe anything because they don't do anything. Judgment has no place in our life of faith, judgment about us, nor judgment from us. In every church I've ever served, many of the most faithful servants of the church were those who I would call the unexpected. You know, the ones who didn't look the part. The ones who didn't dress the part. The ones who didn't belong to the right clubs and live in the right neighborhood. Some of the freshest faces and acts of faith I have ever seen have been from what people would probably call the unexpected. And it doesn't matter to the Lord. And shame on any one of us who are suddenly surprised about how faithful they are. You see, that's thinking of the world, not of the kingdom. Jesus was chosen by God. He was chosen by God as a royal priest, as the cornerstone, the rock, our Redeemer. Now I want you to picture Jesus in your mind for just a moment. He didn't look the part either. Born to unmarried parents. Born in what even, you couldn't even call it a shack. He wasn't born in a very gracious neighborhood. And when people got to know him, they either loved him or they hated him. And none understood him, and very few do today. And yet, we are called to follow this man, this living God, to follow Christ, no matter the cost. You and I both follow. I follow as an ordained Methodist minister. You follow as a member of the holy priesthood, of the body of Christ. And together we follow as disciples of Jesus. There may be times when you are rejected by your beliefs. Your workplace doesn't want to hear about it. The friend that you keep trying to invite to church, they don't want to hear about it. The difficult relative around the holiday table doesn't want to hear about it. Especially if you're Methodist in their Church of Christ. Just don't go there. You know, for my first 20 years, just about, of ministry, I served most of them in smaller towns than Little Rock. And as a clergywoman, you have to know that there were people that left the church because I was appointed there. There were people who quit worshiping at the church while I was there, although they wanted their name left on the roll. But there were also people who came to the church, joined the church, went into the life of the church because they connected to Christ through me. There are people throughout the history of Asbury who have quit coming to church because there was another member in the church they wanted to avoid. But there are so many more who've come to church because of you. And yet, as we say all that and feel so good about that, the reason that we should all be here shouldn't have anything to do with any of that. We should rush to be here because there's a celebration going on, and it's all in honor of a man named Jesus Christ, who died for you, died for me, but rose again. And he did it so we would rise and live forever, and that death wouldn't have the final say, death wouldn't have the final word, and that we are with Jesus. But we don't have to die to be with Jesus. That's the best part. Jesus is alive today as much as he was on Easter morning. No. We don't come to church, do we, because our friends are here, our family is here. Don't we come to church because Jesus is here? Amen. The materials, that third building block, are essential to the construction. I think I shared with you before that when we built our home 14 years ago in the Watson Chapel area, we were told right away that there was a vein of clay that basically was a part of that area of the state, and that we would be extremely wise to invest and do the strongest foundation we could so that as the clay shifted, our house wouldn't shift and suddenly you'd find cracks in the walls here and there. Well, we took that advice and we spent quite a bit more money on the foundation of that house than probably most people do. But I'm here to tell you, there are no cracks. The foundation is sure. Our house is secure. And did I mention it's up for sale? There'll be one Sunday when I don't mention the house, I promise. The most important materials in building our salvation in the kingdom is Christ, the cornerstone. The cornerstone is that anchor for the rest of the building. It is where the rest of the building kind of lends and draws its support. With the analogy that the prophets gave us and that Peter references in our text today, he is telling us, don't you see, that Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, as we lean dependently upon him, we build up our inner strength. Peter knew this. Peter, who wrote this, knew this. Why, as long as he anchored his gaze upon Jesus Christ, he was able to walk up on top of the waves. But as soon as he got distracted and noticed the reality of the sea around him, he plummeted. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of your salvation and of mine today, is that Jesus still saved him. As Jesus saves you and me, even when we falter in our faith. Amen. This passage of scripture Peter quoted comes from the prophecy both of Isaiah, both in chapters 8 and 28. This prophecy of the cornerstone, this image of this historical messianic and faith reference to Jesus. Messiah, as predicted, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. But a new temple was being built to glorify God and to save his people. And that new temple are the followers of Jesus Christ. The new temple is constructed that faithful followers of Christ can know Messiah is real. No Messiah has come. It's interesting as you read that text, it said the builders rejected the stone. The stone was given and it was tossed aside. But what did God do? God chose that stone, claimed that stone. The stone the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, Psalm 118:22. That which is rejected, don't you see, the Lord honors. So if you're having a bad day, but you're trying to remain faithful, and you're feeling pretty down, and you're wondering where in the world you're going to find that strength and that faith to renew yourself that day, you remember that God lifts up and honors us when we are rejected, when we are down. And this isn't just right here. Throughout the entire Bible, you will see this theme, this message to us over and over again. Remember when Jesus said, "And the exalted shall be humbled, but the humbled, they shall be exalted." And the Apostle Paul, as he said in 2 Corinthians 1:27, "But God chose what was foolish to shame the wise." This is God's way. Doesn't make sense to us. We don't operate that way. But Jesus is reminding us we should. We should. So death and sin are destroyed, and the resurrection takes its due place in victory. God always has the last word. Fourthly, wisdom. Again, you can have the great purpose and plan. You can have the great tools. You can have the best of materials. But you need some wisdom. You see, the building block in growing up our salvation is that the cornerstone is nothing without the mortar. Without the mortar to adhere to the other stones, the cornerstone is nothing. It has no purpose. Wisdom, my friends, is the mortar. Story, I may have told it to you before, just be nice and act like you've never heard it ever in your life. Story of Methodist preacher, Presbyterian preacher, and Catholic priest, and they go out fishing in the boat about 25 yards away from the shore. After a while, the Methodist preacher just says, "Hey, I'm out of bait. I'm headed to the shore. See y'all in a minute." He gets out of the boat, walks on the water to the shore. Presbyterian minister, just a moment or two later, does like that to his water bottle. And he says, "I'm out of water. I'll see you in a little bit. I'm headed to the shore." Catholic priest doesn't say anything. He's watched these two guys walk on the water to the shore. He says, "Well, I'm not going to let the Methodists and the Presbyterians outdo me." He gets out of the boat. He begins to try to walk on the water. He sinks. He gets up, gets back in the boat, tries it again. He walks, he sinks. The Methodist preacher and the Presbyterian preacher are over on the shore, and they're watching this. Methodist nudges the Presbyterian and says, "Hey, I think we ought to tell them where the rocks are." Wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are essential and come to us through the Holy Spirit. They come to us through prayer. They come to us in witness of the Holy Spirit. They come to us in fellowship of spiritual discernment. You know, it's great to call up a lifelong friend, but you know, when I've got something that's troubling my heart and I need some help to just kind of process it, figure it, get the cobwebs out, I want the most spiritually discerning person I can find. And that's what you and I are to be doing as we're becoming holier, is we are supposed to be developing that spiritual discernment so that we can be of help to others. And we can only do that by practice of it. Spiritual discernment, wonderful, wonderful, great gift. Finally, the building block of the kingdom builders growing in salvation is energy, spirit. When we attempt to complete a project or build something, we've got to have that or it's just not going to happen. And exhaustion just leads to sloppiness. So we need that Spirit of Christ to kindle us, because all the tools, again, and the materials and the purpose and the wisdom is for naught if we don't have the energy to do it. Our spirit and energy shape the work, establishing where we're going and the strength and quality of the building. We're building for Jesus. We need to rely on His presence, His energy, His spirit. Then our work will be blessed. And as God blesses our work, have you ever worked on something and you weren't doing it for yourself? It was very clear you were doing it on behalf of the Lord. And you watch and you just see the results come from your efforts of missions or whatever it is that you've been doing for somebody. And you step back and you see what happened and the fruit that it bore. And you can hardly be restrained from praising the Lord about it. because you recognize it wasn't you. You were just the vessel being used. You were just the channel by which the good came forth for the kingdom. It's our fifth year together. We've gotten comfortable with each other. We trust each other. And we know what to expect, kind of. But I'm here to tell you, complacency can sometimes accompany comfort. The district superintendent's got several of us reading this book. If we were to implement some of these things, it'd shake up Asbury pretty good. It's talking about moving from pastor-centered, where the pastor entertains, the pastor does all the caring, the pastor does all the decision-making, the pastor works with all the committees, and so on, so on, so forth. It talks about moving away from that to pastor-led, where the congregation together is visioning together. But the pastor leads the vision. And together there's conversation, holy conversation and listening. Not vying for what I want or what I want, but really thinking about what's this kingdom of God calling us to do as a church. It's talking about taking us from structures making the decisions to the vision calling forth for decision. It's talking about doing a lot of things that would feel and be different for us. I'm not saying I'm starting it today or tomorrow, but I'm telling you that this is kind of the mode of thinking that the leadership of the United Methodist Church, not just in this district, not just in this state, but throughout the world, are going toward, because it's time to renovate. It's time to understand we are a different culture now. And we're not giving into the culture, but we're trying to reach people in this culture. And the ways that you reach them in the 60s are not the way that you reach them in 2016. So please partner with me in prayer as we begin to think about what is it that God wants us to do to bring more disciples? Because people don't just drop into the church like they used to. We have to be the church out there and invite them in. And that means going out of our comfort zone and doing things a little differently than we've always done them. So school, as Laura said, starts in about 4 weeks. Vacations are winding down. It's time to get cracking. It's time to look and to see what Asbury can be according to the will of God. We're not trying to bring back the glory days of Asbury. That was fabulous for when that was. We're trying to be the best Asbury today. And it may far surpass the glory days. Again, that was defined by certain people, and their sense of glory may be different than someone else's sense of glory. But God has a lot to say to Asbury, and God's going to be speaking to us, and we're going to be listening. I want to close with just this. Yesterday, I was up in Fayetteville on the square, and it was the, farmer's market. The farmer's market has done a lot to help the businesses there in Fayetteville on Saturdays. But there was one business that really did something smart. They had just this inexpensive, small bubble machine sitting outside their front steps. We had our granddaughter, Lane Austin, in a stroller. I've got a video of it, and I probably am not going to spare you of watching it later on, because I'll find a way to use it in a sermon, because it's really cute. We had her parked in front of this bubble machine,
And she was having the time of her life. And she was going like this, which is exactly what I do when I get excited, which is a little scary. She was doing like this, and she was trying to eat the bubble tie. And she was trying to just let them wash over her face. And she was trying to do like this to snuff them out. And she was just feeling them and absorbing them and just loving them. Having the best time with bubbles I've ever seen a human being have with bubbles. And people can have a lot of fun with bubbles. But we won't go there. But she was having a great time. And I thought about our faith. I thought, wouldn't it be great if we decided that we need to freshen up our faith? Wouldn't it be great if we decided that we needed to feel faith as if we were experiencing bubbles for the very first time? Do you remember the first time you experienced bubbles? I do. It was at my birthday party when I turned 7, and there were those little orangish-red plastic bubbles, and they had cartoon characters on the front. Okay, I'm old, I know, but I remember that. So that's just the thought I want to leave with you. If your faith is feeling kind of bored, if your faith is feeling kind of stale, if your faith is feeling kind of like it needs a boost, go get some bubbles and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Invite the celebration singers and band to come forward as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day because you commanded that we keep the Sabbath, observe it, and keep it holy. So God, on this holy day, you've reminded us through your word that we're called to be a holy people. May we do that beginning today. May we clean it up. And as Peter says, may we grow up in our salvation and do so with gladness of heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to renew that faith, or to come forward and pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing our closing song.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Jesus, lover of my soul.
Jesus,
lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, you've set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. you until the very end.
I love you. I need you.
Ooh, I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you, though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
This has been a time of worship. God has been in this place. Therefore, this has been a holy place. May you go out today and just share that experience of feeling God today. Share this experience with somebody. Share this spirit of love and faith and compassion and grace. And go so in the name of Jesus and in his peace. Amen.